We're sponsored by Overcast, an independent podcast app that embraces the open world of podcasting instead of locking it down.
No exclusives, no premium content, no paywalls. Just a great podcast app for everyone.
Get it for free in the App Store. Hello, my sweet Ned. How are you feeling today?
I am feeling like I have COVID.
It's happened, everyone.
Secret's out.
COVID has infected the Wisteria Gaze cast.
No, it's getting to us.
The secret is out. Here we are.
I'm canceled.
But hey, you're doing good.
Yeah, I feel fine.
Everyone, send your healing vibes and your good energy towards my
sweet
Ned. Send
me all of your money.
And money. Send good vibes and $50.
Send me $50.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey, you know, I'm so blessed that you are braving COVID-19 to discuss season 3, episode 20 of Desperate Housewives with me.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for being in the same room with me, knowing that we had to record this still.
Yeah, thank you for spitting in my mouth right before we began.
Yeah, thank you for just putting your whole tongue inside of me.
Yeah. I had to get everywhere to make sure I got that good COVID.
Yeah.
I had to scoop it all out, yeah.
You had to scoop that COVID out of me, and you did, and thank you.
You're welcome. The things I do to record Wisteria Gaze, it's truly, I'm really... you know, sacrificing a lot of myself for this podcast.
But in all honesty, thank God I'm not feeling too bad.
Yes, I'm really glad you're not feeling bad. And I'm excited to talk to this episode with you because we are cresting into the end of the season. And I think the vibes are there. I can feel it. I can feel the vibes simmering. And I'm so excited to see where it goes.
I'm simmering. I can't wait. I can't wait for Bree to come back in, like, the last fucking episode of the season.
We could talk about it, but I do love how they explained, like, she's not dead, because they did that awkward, like...
They did it, like...
Bree sent some cookies from Sweden or wherever the fuck she's supposed to be.
Yeah, from the top of the Alps.
I thought that was... Yeah, I'm ready for Bree to come back. I know that Marsha Cross had to go have her babies and blah, blah, blah. But Marsha, I'm ready for you. Get back. Get back here. We need more Brie. It feels...
Hop him out. Come back to set. Come on. You got a job to do, Marsha.
I just feel like there's a... It's still a good show, but missing Brie, you know? Yeah. You're missing some good energy when there's no Brie.
It's still a good show, but I feel like it is a different show.
It is. Gotta get that Brie back. Gotta get that. Gotta get that.
Boom, boom, boom.
Brie, Brie, Brie.
Sue, Sue, Susan.
Oh, jinkies. You want to jump in this episode? We're already kind of talking about it.
I'm in the air.
You better crash back down. You better crash into me, baby. This episode premiered April 29th. That's a good song. Okay, I'll say it. April 29th, 2007. What?
That's my surge anniversary.
Are you a Dave Matthews
and
band?
That's next week.
Our anniversary is next week?
No, my surge-iversary.
Oh, your surge-iversary. I was about to say our anniversary is like next month. Happy surge-iversary.
Thank you.
I remember that day vividly in my life. And I'm so happy that you got top surgery. Happy anniversary. It was also written, not your top surgery, but this episode, by John Pardee and Joey Murphy and directed by Wendy Stansler. For Sondheim Watch, this episode is called Gossip, and it's from Sunday in the Park with George. And for International, there's no difference. It was just gossip everywhere, which we love to see.
I love gossip.
Gossip.
I'm a messy bitch who loves gossip. Oh.
And speaking of messy bitches, we open on Gabby's engagement party at Scavo's Pizzeria.
We do. We see Gabby on her night avoiding death multiple times. Like, this is Final Destination.
The knife moment was pure Final Destination. Why was her hand, like, outspread, ready to be stabbed? And why did that man have a loose knife on his tray? It was all
they
bad.
They were already playing the, what is the stabbing?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it's called, but the five finger thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were getting really piratey at the engagement party. We hear that Edie is who caused the injury, because she's injured right now in her hand, and we don't see why until we build up to it. We see that kind of Brie moment that we talked about. Susan wrote a poem, but then we get the gossip, the drama, the juice. Edie and Gabby, honestly, my favorite duo. I kind of love them together.
They're great. Yeah.
And the drama that is being stirred between them is juicy as hell.
Oh yeah, because the Cardi bomb has been dropped.
Like Cardi B?
The Cardi B bomb has been dropped. She's on the lane. She's the new housewife in town.
Cardi B in Desperate Housewives. I mean, I can't even imagine how great that'd be. Can you fucking imagine?
She would kill everybody.
Can you imagine Brie walking down the street with her muffins ready to greet? And then just like as she gets closer, she hears the muffled sounds of...
And then Brie would just turn around and walk away.
Oh, someone make an edit. It's Cardi B living on Desperate Housewives.
But yeah, the Carlos and Edie relationship bomb has been dropped. And... Gabby is upset, and I said in a previous episode, I am anti-Carlos and Gabby, because I feel like we just need, I need to be, for some reason.
You need different, yeah, you need the difference.
So, you know.
Gabby's stressed about it, she breaks a glass in her hand, and that's how she injures herself.
Which is understandable, it is a big shock, you know, I understand that Edie made sure Gabby was happy before dropping the news, you know, and she is definitely in a new relationship.
But she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing. Yeah.
And also, truly, the complicated past of Gabby and Carlos, like, I don't know if, like, now is the best time to drop that information.
No.
If anything. And, like, I'm sure if, like, you get to a point where you are you feel serious in the relationship with Carlos Edie, and you know that he does, like, maybe then you can, like, go off and try to have that conversation with Gabby, but it doesn't seem like you are at that point yet.
Well, she kind of sussed out, right, that he's still in love with Gabby, and so I think she absolutely was doing this as a power move to try to gauge where Gabby is at, because she, like, Edie has the knowledge of, like, okay, Carlos is still on the hook. Is Gabby still on the hook? And I think that the breaking glass indicates to me Gabby is absolutely on the hook. Even if she is marrying Victor. I think that Gabby, especially when we get to the end of the episode, or near the end, right? That kind of moment with Gabby and Carlos, where Gabby is like, oh yeah, he still wants me. I'm like, girl, I don't think she realizes she still wants him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think she's cognizant that she still is kind of on the hook for Carlos too.
I don't know if her and Victor will actually get married. My bet's on they won't. But
what's
if they
the Ned
do,
prediction corner?
If they do, I feel like she's going to start cheating on him with Carlos.
No, that's terrible.
I feel like it's going to happen.
Oh, God. Rip. Rip me. Do you want to know something, a fun fact?
I love... fun facts.
So we get the opening credits. We get the full opening credits here, right? Mm-hmm. This is the last episode of the entire series of Desperate Housewives that will feature the full credits, apparently. I saw that on Wikipedia.
What?
Apparently, after this season, like, they start doing the shortened ones while we crest into the end of season 3. And then from here on out, they just do the little do-do-do-do-do-do-do, the little short one, for till the end of the series. We never will see the opening credits this long again.
Holy shit.
Isn't that the wildest fact ever?
That is.
I just figured you should know, so we can all emotionally prepare ourselves for never seeing that one again.
Do we need to have an in memoriam for the theme song?
Yes. What was your favorite moments with the opening theme? Full credits.
I think the first moment I heard your ass cheeks clapping to the beat.
Oh my God. You know, my favorite moment is when I first heard your bones crunching.
Oh my God.
To the tune.
And now for an for a rehearsed song for the Desperate Housewives theme song by Danny Elfman. Thank you.
Was it just a moment of silence?
It was on a frequency, but only dogs could hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have to ask a dog how it sounded.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, we leave these opening credits in the dust. We will literally never see them again. Fuck those opening credits.
Fuck you, Danny Elfman. Gross.
And we come back into Mary Alice, of course, our queen, our constant, our rock, telling us about gossip. It is usually simple, harmless recreation. I like that Ida is only almost exclusively in these opening bits now. Ida's just here and then she's like never there again.
She's like, yeah, she's always in the beginning and the end, and that's it. She's our bookends.
I love her. I want Ida bookends. When gossip kind of morphs, it can become obsession. And we see the obsession of the lane currently is McCluskey.
Yeah. And we do find out some information about what was going on.
Yes.
He has been in that freezer for 10 years.
That's fucking crazy.
I did like Gabby's use of the word corpsicle.
I missed that.
She said, yeah, she was like, how are we supposed to know she was keeping a corpsicle in the basement?
Oh, Gabby was going hard. She was like, what a murderer. Like, I feel like Lynette and Susan were trying to give Klusky the benefit of the doubt, and Gabby's like, fuck no.
Yeah.
I love
that. They were also making fun of how, like, why wouldn't you just have a separate freezer for a body? Like, why would you keep all of your, like, ice cream and stuff in there with it?
That is true. That's valid. That's a very valid point. I don't know. If I was keeping a corpse, I don't know if I'd want it rubbing up against my taquitos, you know?
Yeah. But we also find out that right now she is only in jail for improper disposal of a corpse, not for murder. And they're talking. Parker comes up and...
Parker is getting some character development these last couple episodes.
I cannot wait to see how weird he grows up to be. This guy's gonna have so much trauma, and it's gonna turn him to a weird little freak.
I mean, he's taken everything the hardest. Like, he's taken Lynette almost getting killed the hardest. He's taken the McCluskey stuff the hardest. I feel like he's the most sensitive. He's like that SNL sketch that's like Wells for sensitive boys. He's a little well to cry into, you know?
Yeah, Parker's been getting a lot of interesting development this past couple episodes. He's
Parker Nation.
Parker freaking Nation.
And Gabby, go.
No, please, you go.
Gabby sees Edie taking out some trash after Lynette kind of scurries Parker back inside. She's like confused on how she can hide this from the children because Parker's a little inquisitive boy. But Gabby gets pulled away because she has to go confront Edie for breaking girl code. She broke
the
girl
TV
code.
Show. Girl code.
Because she shows up and she's like, could you cease and desist dating my ex-husband, please? And Edie's like, no. I love them together. I love that, like, because they're both the sort of more like, and I'm not saying these as negative things at all, because y'all know I love both these girls. Like, yeah. They're the more vapid, materialistic women, and so I love that it's very Real Housewives vibes that they're like bickering, and I love, and how they're also kind of besties sometimes. Like, I kind of love their relationship.
Their banter, although very mean, is very quippy. It's just nice. It's quick. It's fast. Like, I really liked the. Edie, like, has anybody told you that they hate you? And she's like, why would they tell me that they hate me? And just because they do. Everybody hates you because you're dating their ex-husbands.
Oh my God.
I really like them together. Just
they're both
as you
funny,
said.
Yeah. The most important part of the episode happens next, though. Because Queen Julie's back.
Oh, I nominated... Real quick, in the last scene, I did nominate Edie for saying the line, you are as tall as my legs.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Okay. So yeah, Queen Julie.
Queen Julie. She's back.
She is over it. She is done. She's like, Mom, please just talk to these guys. And Susan is on the floor hiding from these men.
I mean, Susan's totally valid for not wanting to fucks with either of them. And I do love that Julie's like, just take one of them back, Mom. And it's like, where have you been for 3 weeks? Girl, you have been here for so long. You don't know what's going
Obviously,
on.
Obviously, she's been at summer camp.
I guess. I feel like Andrea Bone was gone for like so long.
Truly. But like ding dong, Ian is back. It's they have the little banter where it's like the doorbell rings and Susan's like, which one is it this time? And it's Ian.
It was fun. I actually really liked Susan in this episode.
Yeah.
I've been on a liking Susan train for the last like two episodes or so.
Yay. Susan was my original.
Your original fave. No, I've never been a big Suze hater, but I will point out when she's being a fucking idiot, but I'm not a hater. And right now she's being cute and I like her.
Yeah. But yeah, she is hiding from Ian. Ian is outside of their house with a bushel of roses. Mike just kind of struts over and is like, dude, I don't know how to do a Mike voice anymore. What's your Mike voice?
Hey, I'm Mike. She doesn't want you, man. You gotta step down or whatever the hell he says. I think it's Mike has done a full 180 as a character. Like to me, in terms of like he was kind of always the like sensitive like muscle man, and now he's just like fucking hips out. Like, hey, I know I fuck, and like he's very like sensual now, and it's like very strange. Like he's like confident and walks up. No, he's like the epitome of the like. Daddy Big Dick is back in town meme. Like, he just strolls up being like, yeah, I'm here. What the fuck's up? Like, he's fully changed, and I think it's hilarious.
He really has. And Ian has changed as well. He's become less creepy and more just piss baby.
He is piss
because
baby.
Because he's bloody had it. at least I think that's what he says.
Probably.
I wish they kissed.
Mike and Ian?
Yeah, I want them to kiss. I just think they have a lot of frustration built up between them, and they could really get it out if they just really just go at it.
They
got
to do, like, one of those, like, Brokeback Mountain kisses, you know, where it looks like Heath Ledger was about to, like, break Jake Gyllenhaal's nose.
Yeah,
like, just do one of those, like, just get it all out.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Susan and
when are they gonna put hardcore gay porn in Desperate Housewives? Mark Cherry.
That's what our fan fiction episodes are for. Surely we can find a Mike and Ian fan fiction. Are you kidding
me? Somebody send us one.
Yeah, someone write us a Mike and Ian.
You can do your Mike voice and I can do my Ian voice.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah. Remember that Mike Tom one?
Yeah.
If y'all skip our fanfiction episodes, please go back and listen to the second one where there is a very saucy Mike Tom one. That's very good. But speaking of this moment and Mike, Susan's sort of doing a Cyrano thing with Julie, like lying behind the door, telling Julie what to say to the men. It's a funny little comedy of errors, but basically Susan wants them to GTFO.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Lynette and Rick having dinner again. After
she's
the
on
stories,
a date.
Yeah, she is. She is dressed up. Her hair is down. She's wearing a bunch of makeup. And Tom calls her, being like, "Hey, where are you?" And she says, "We're still closing up." And he just wanted to call to say, "I love you." And she lies and says, "I don't know what time I'm going to be home because we're doing inventory tonight, so it might be a while." And she chooses freaking ravioli over. Formulis.
Here's the thing. This is an era I never thought I would enter. I'm entering my hating Lynette era.
Really?
Not hating, but I'm hating on her because I'm mad at Rick. I'm mad at her. I don't want her to cheat on Tom. And I understand that she needs to feel pretty. And I think she needs to have a break from her kids. I agree with all those things. But I don't want it to be by cheating.
Yes, she should not cheat on her husband.
No, it's stressing me out. Every time there is tension between her and Rick, I'm shitting my pants.
And like it even goes to the point where she hangs up the phone and she has second thoughts, and she's like, "Oh, maybe I should go home." And Rick takes her phone and he's like, "Hey, baby, maybe you should stay. We can Lady and the Tramp some of this ravioli."
And it's even shorter. Yeah, it's just immediately. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
And she does. She stays. She is successfully convinced to stay with Rick. Big Dick Rick.
He feeds her. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's doing. I'm stressed. But what I'm also stressed out about is we see Parker. This is so sad to me. He is watching McCluskey coming out at night, and she's cleaning eggs off her door because kids are being terrible to her. And it's just like a very sad moment. And I love Parker and McCluskey's relationship. I think I said this last episode. I love how he's always, he's like the sensitive, like I feel like the twins are so with each other all the time that he is kind of the outlier, right? Because Penny's so much younger than him. Kayla has come in later and she's older than them, right? Like I feel like he's the kid who gravitates to adults, which I absolutely was because I was an only child. And so I was like, I was always the like friend of adults. And so I identify with Parker a lot and I think he's so sweet. And his like love for McCluskey is very sweet. And he wants to go talk to her. And Tom kind of pulls him in and is like, no, let's not do that right now. You know, I don't care if she's a murderer. She's my grandma.
Yeah, I love her. She's sweet.
I don't give a shit if she murdered her husband. I love her. Okay, I'm standing by McCluskey. Also, free McCluskey. We have shirts in our store. Thank you.
That's true. Free her. And then we cut to Gabby, Lynette, and Susan. Gabby is giving them the lowdown and saying, you need to stop talking to Edie. You need to cut her off. You need to be my friends on this, because if you are truly a friend to me, you're gonna share this with me, and not only brunches and not only gossips.
High school bullshit right there.
Truly.
They call
wait,
it out.
I forgot I have to be on Gabby's. Wait, do I have to be? I don't have to be on Gabby's side, I guess, for this to be anti-Carlos and Edie.
You're
right?
losing track of what you have to do.
I'm trying to. Okay, I gotta get this in order. What are my beliefs?
All I know is that I do enjoy that they call it out. Lynette is like, this is pretty immature, and Gabby's like, I don't care. And I would like to nominate Susan for lesbian of the episode for being a feminist icon in this moment, being like, why are we only mad at Edie? Why are we not mad at Carlos? Why are we always mad at the women and not the men? I'm like, yes, get your manifesto out, queen. I know she's kind of projecting, right? She's projecting onto her own situation, but I wanted to nominate her for Lode because I liked that she brought up a very valid point that I wish more women would realize that it takes two to tango, indeed. And maybe you should also be mad at the men. But also, he's your ex-husband, and you shouldn't theoretically care who he's sleeping with.
But it's also, like, different if you consider, like, it's your ex-husband who's sleeping, like, one of your friends.
It is. Yeah, no, she definitely broke some girl code there. Absolutely.
But after this scene, Susan and Lynette agree to give Edie the frozen shoulder. We go to the Scavo household. And right?
Yes.
And Kayla is there, and we get some, we were just talking about the other episode how we haven't seen Kayla in a bit. We haven't had any interaction. She's here. She asks, how come you're always home so late? And when Lynette responds that she's working, she laughs a little bit, and Kayla goes, oh, you're lying.
Kayla is hard as hell in this episode.
I know she attempted murder, but so did Susan. Susan actually murdered somebody.
That's true. Season one.
Kayla's kind of a girl boss.
Kayla's in her girl boss era.
Kayla is in her girl boss era.
Lynette, I have never seen, that was the face crack of the century. I have never seen Lynette that fucking shook in my life.
I heard the glass fucking crack on her cheek.
It was kind of fabulous how Kayla's like, yeah, bitch, you're lying. Like, Kayla is a terrifying child to me. She's like the kid from Orphan or something. No, she's like a 30-year-old in a child's body. It's like very, it's very stressful for me.
Spoilers, Mackenzie, spoilers.
I've actually never seen that movie. I've never seen that movie, weirdly.
But yeah, so that scene is truly just Kayla calling Lynette out, and now Lynette is aware that she has a tell.
The vibes are out. The vibes are fucking out.
We then cut to Susan.
This scene made no sense.
It made no sense. I thought her death count was about to rise to 2 because she's just in a parking lot and gets cut off, like somebody steals her spot, and she...
He is a douche to her. He's really shitty. He's really gross.
And honestly, I said Lote for this because she gets in his car. He tries to get in through the window and she like puts the window up so he is struggling between the glass.
That looked like it hurt so bad.
Probably, yeah. Man. And then the cops come and they're like, ma'am, is he trying to steal your car?
That was wild.
I have another Susan Lote later, too. Susan have to be
a Susan. Maybe it's just a full sweep of Susan.
It might be a Susan week. There was a surprising a good amount of Lote.
It's a sweep. That's a sweep. Yeah. I don't know.
A sweep.
Susan sweep. You know, I got my brain did malfunction over the next 5 minutes because Edie serving like pinup realness right now.
I was like, it's giving me anything goes.
It's giving anything goes. It's giving Miss Boop. It's giving me Lucille Ball. I don't know. It's giving me pinup
Mr. and Boop?
Mr. Boop. I'm Mr. Boop to Edie's Betty Boop. And I actually thought this was funny. Carlos is just like chilling on the couch, being like, chill out, dude. And she sees Lynette coming home and she mentions Lynette has not answered her calls. So Edie calls Lynette, watches Lynette screen the call and hang up and is like, this is Gabby Solis. I can tell. And she traipses over to Lynette to invite the boys to Travers's birthday party. And Edie, the manipulative queen she is, offers Lynette a huge catering deal that she obviously can't turn down.
Oh, yeah.
Edie Stir in the fucking pot. It's great.
Should we just toss her in the bucket as well?
Why not? She's
for the power play.
She was chewing that gum while she walked away. I wish I was that gum.
You can
chew on me, Edie.
Somebody make an edit.
I'm the gum in Edie's mouth. Yeah, it's just that shot of her walking away and it zooms in and I'm like, I'm just inside going, yay.
And then after this scene, we go back to Susan finding out that she threatened to decapitate this man over a parking space, which is my other low nominee for Susan.
I feel like Susan's got it in the bag at this point. Yeah, it's like Susan moments.
I think we should say, and also Susan has not won in so long.
It's been too long. It's because she hasn't
won all season. Has she won at all this season?
I don't think so, because I feel like the first two she had a lot of tension with Edie, and that's what led to her having a lot of. Oh my god! You ready for this Throwback Thursday? Do you remember her with Brandy?
Brandy
in like episode 3 or some shit. Yeah. Do you remember that? Like, God, we haven't had a good Susan Lote in a hot second.
I know.
The last time she won might have been like her abs winning or something. I have no idea.
Probably. Her belly button ring.
Yes. Oh, geez. Yeah, I say we should just call it with Susan.
Yeah. We can toss some more people in the bucket if we have
but
more
she's
loads.
She's the clear winner. She's the heavy
Susan.
Hitter tonight. Yeah.
Lesbian of the week is Susan Meyer.
Susan's in court-ordered therapy right now.
Thank God. Finally, she's in some kind of therapy.
I miss Dr. Goldfein. I need everyone to go to just him because I miss him.
So do I, but it might be a conflict of interest if everybody is going to the same therapist.
I guess.
Do you want to talk about therapy?
Sure. I mean, really, she just sort of, you know, tries to push down everything. And every time the therapist, who I thought was really lovely, I thought she seemed like a nice lady. I like her vibes a lot. She, you know, was trying to inquire about, like, how's your relationship with your daughter? How's blah, 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 you know, trying to inquire what's going on with Susan's life. Susan is deflecting, but then when she says, how's your love life? She breaks down crying. And that's kind of all we get now because we come back to this after this next little scene.
Yeah. So we see Parker visiting Klusky and he's a bit upset.
He's sad.
He's frustrated. He wants her to come clean about everything because it would just clear it up. But Klusky seems very adamant about not wanting to come clean because gossips are going to spread gossip either way. So what is the point?
It makes Parker sad.
Yeah.
We head back to therapy real quick, and she is opening up to this therapist who is helping her work through it. And she tries to implore Susan to just think about how she feels about them both. And Susan admits that she loves them both. And I loved this when she was like, I only fell in love with Ian when I thought that Mike was off the table. And now I'm stressed out about it. And I'm like, girl, that should tell you something right there.
Yeah.
That should tell you like everything you need to know, but I guess you're not going to pay attention to that, huh?
I just don't know what her deal is.
Mike is the clear winner.
the thing is, like, she knows she wants to be with Mike, but it's like she just doesn't like to break up with people.
She feels guilty. Yeah. No. So, and I mean, and like, maybe she's never broken up with anybody, right? Because really, Carl was her big love, right? Like, they got married really young. He cheated on her. You know, it's easy to break up with someone when they cheated on you or when they hurt you, but it's hard when, at least to Susan, right, for all intents and purposes, like, he's done nothing but be a good guy to her. And so it's hard to break up with somebody when the only thing they did wrong was not be another person. Like, the for Susan, the only thing Ian did wrong was just not be Mike. And so I get her version of that, because I am also conflict averse, but also I want her to fuck Mike. So
Ian had a lot of red flags in general.
Yes, I hate Ian, but I don't think Susan does.
No. Yeah, you're right.
But I also like the therapist, immaculate vibes. I love this woman. Yeah. I hope she comes back. She says, you know, Susan, like, hey, you have to make choices because that's life. And to just let them both go would be stupid, because you have two guys that are amazing and love you. And so to let them both go and then just let yourself be unhappy would be dumb. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. So this helps Susan be pushed to make a decision.
And then we go to Rick and Lynette again having dinner on their little dinner after work dinner dates. And he truthfully and fully asks her on a real date.
Literally.
Asks her to go to his buddy's soul food place that's opening up to taste some menu items. And like he said, he asked if he could bring someone.
He's taking her on a date.
Yeah, and she knows wants to go. She's
married. I'm mad at Rick, too.
She knows she's married.
Yeah, she knows. I'm mad at both of those motherfuckers. I'm pissed at everybody in this room right now. I can't handle it. I also, not to jump ahead too much, but at the end, when Rick overhears the people being like, yeah, you got to flirt with Miscavo to get something. Like, they're not being sneaky. Everyone is fucking seeing that they're flirting. And I'm like, I hope that backfires for them, because I'm ready for it to backfire.
Mm-hmm. I hope it backfires for them, and like, I hope it doesn't backfire for the employees.
Yeah, that would suck.
If it backfires for the employees, I hope it backfires worse for them.
Oh,
and yes, I'm saying them. I hope this backfires for Lynette and Rick.
Lynette wants to fuck this man so bad.
She wants to, and you know what? Go for it, Lynette. But I hope you get what you deserve.
We are both the Willem Dafoe sharpening knives gif. Zing, zing, zing. This birthday party is fucking huge. That we see, it that is, we cut to.
It's freaking huge. Spider-Man is here.
It's crazy. It's taking up the whole middle park that's in the middle of the lane. That is wild.
Only the best for Travers.
I love that we don't even see Travers. It's his birthday party and we don't even see him.
He's in the bouncy house. And Lynette is there in her Scavo's pizzeria gear, and she sees Susan. And, Susan sees Lynette first, right? And is like, hey, what are you doing here? How dare you? And then Edie comes in and is like, Susan, are you ready to do your book reading?
Yeah, they both got seduced by Edie's offers. And I think it's a funny moment. But we, you know, Lynette gives the tea. She's like, look, Gabby's out with Victor. We're good. We're all good. We're all chill. It's all fine. Susan has a longing look at Mike, but it's a passing moment because we have to get to these fucking kids who are little assholes who stole a bunch of paint so that they could write witch on McCluskey's door.
And Parker comes up and he stands up for his grandma.
I love that. He says,
you get away from her. In her house. She's not a witch. And they push him down.
And McCluskey comes out to intervene. And it's like sweet, but it's also sad because he's like, you need to admit what the truth is, because it just makes him sad that he views it as her putting herself in the line of fire. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, I think it's sweet that he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to tell people. He doesn't want to betray that trust that she bestowed on him. But I do. It's just sweet that he cares about her and he just wants this to stop happening. But he's a kid. He doesn't know how to stop it. It's very sweet. It's very sad.
But for now, we have to quickly cut away from that to Gabby coming back. She's actually free for lunch, home early. Where is everybody? They're hiding, Gabby. I don't know. But yeah, Gabby's coming. Everybody hide.
This is my worst nightmare. Because they, Lynette and Susan try to run and hide. And they get into the, like, there's like a reptile guy. They get into his van and there's a, just a tarantula out of the cage.
And it hisses at them.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark for the first time two nights ago.
Is that the one where his face melts?
That is the face melting one. I've never seen this movie. If anyone wants to hear my thoughts, it's on Austin Danger Podcast, my other podcast I haven't talked about in a couple weeks. That's our next episode. There's the part in the beginning when they are just covered in tarantulas. And it was so horrifying. I had to look away. I was like, Rachel, you got to just tell me when this is over. I can't do this. I'm not a tarantula fan. I'm not a bug fan. I'm not a spider fan. I fully identified with them screaming and pissing themselves running away. And then when Gabby obviously finds them, they begin bickering. And we get this moment I kind of referenced earlier with Carlos intervening. And him and Gabby have this fucking moment together.
Yeah, he physically picks her up and takes her away.
That's like old school Carlos Gabby stuff right there.
Truly. And yeah, Gabby is mad. She says, I'm mad I had to hear about you two through her and not from you.
Yeah.
And he says, well, I was mad that I heard about your engagement through TV.
That's valid. And they kind of just like, he's like, look. Me and Edie are never going to be serious, which I fucking hate that he keeps telling every other person other like in the world. I don't know. I just feel like it feels like he's wasting his time. Whatever. It's very complicated. But him being like, why do you get to be jealous when you're happy and getting like, married?
I don't know. I can see it coming from the point of view where it's like, oh, he's telling everybody so much that like this is never going to go anywhere. So obviously like. They must be on the same page. Like if he's just kind of like always talking about it, that could be like a lens on it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know? He has tried to establish that boundary with Edie, but she's not latching onto it. And I just think that like they need to discuss it more. And like,
yeah.
And if she is not getting it and she wants something more, it is, if that's not what he wants, it's kind of up to him to put his foot down and be like, hey, I've tried to communicate my boundaries and we want very different things right now. So maybe they shouldn't be together. I know he cares about Travers and it's like complicated because there's a kid involved. But yeah, I just feel like it's just going to end badly because he clearly just wants Gabby and I feel bad because Edie really likes him and I don't think she's ever going to get him in the way she wants.
Carlos blatantly says that him and Edie are never going to have anything serious and Gabby backs off. Because we get, you mentioned this earlier as well, yeah. We get a little monologue, but it's kind of just like, oh, she'll let him be with someone else for now because she knows that he still belongs to her.
Yeah.
Which is like, why I'm like, oh, if she does marry Victor, they'll probably have an affair.
Oh, jinkies. They're cleaning up after the party we see next. McCluskey comes up. To come clean. She's like, fine. She does what Parker wants. She's gonna admit what's happened. And she says she did not kill Gilbert. She came home from a weekend away and he was already dead. It was so late that she got home, so she was gonna wait till the morning to call the funeral home and get everything figured out. And she was going through some of his paperwork and found out that he never changed the beneficiary on his insurance. So his first wife would have gotten everything and McCluskey would have lost her home, her livelihood, everything all at once. So she put him in a freezer and she kept cashing, I presume, his retirement checks or, you know, some sort of thing. And that's kind of the story. And she tells them, tell your friends, that's the truth. And her and Parker have a cute little moment. I wrote besties of the episode. Parker, yes. And McCluskey are the besties of the episode.
Boat.
The boat.
And then we go to Susan going up to Mike's door.
I'm depressed.
I've been seeing a court-ordered therapist. So she goes up to Mike's door and she says, yeah, I've been talking to this therapist and I am sure about what I want to do and I'm going to marry Ian. And at first, I thought she was like, this was like a bit she was doing where she was going to be like, no, not like.
That bit you do when you lie.
No, but I thought she was going to try to, I thought she was going to try to do some weird, like, Susan type, like, scheme where she told both of the men, hey, I'm choosing the other guy to, like, see how they reacted, to be like, you actually care about me, you know?
That is some mind game Susan would play. That
makes sense. Like, I feel like that's some weird bullshit. That would make sense in her mind. But yeah, she says to Mike, like, I'm choosing him. And he's mostly silent.
He's sad.
Yeah.
I was also sad. But it's a quick scene because we cut to Lynette about to go on a fucking date.
I fucking screamed.
When Tom shows up with all the children.
I have chills.
Is it the COVID or is it the TV show?
It must be. It must be the COVID.
Is it too soon to not make that joke? yeah, Tom shows up with all the fucking babies and it's like, don't you love your mommy, kids? It was wild.
Yeah, because we didn't say this earlier, but there was a small scene where Michaela went up to Tom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no, that's after this. Never mind.
After this. Sorry. Right. No, you're right. Because yeah, Kayla in this scene goes back and sees Lynette and Rick exchange vibes.
Yeah, because Lynette's like, you need to get out of here. I'm so sorry about this. I can't go.
Yeah, and I know I said this all the time, but little Kayla in that moment, she pulled out her big wooden spoon. She said, I'm going to stir this motherfucking pot. Because I think, right?
It's like right after.
It's right after Kayla comes out to Tom. You're right.
Kayla comes out.
And she is like, mommy, we're not really mommy. She doesn't call her that. Lynette wants to fuck Rick. I wish she had said that, but yeah. She basically says that to Tom, and Tom looks like a fucking ghost because he's terrified.
Yeah.
It made me sad.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Susan and Ian making out.
Gross. His smile is so weird. Like, he's so uncomfortable. It's like when he smiles, his teeth and his eyeballs go into his head, so it's like he's just like... he looks like the little dumpling in that like Pixar short Bao. He like has no eyeballs or teeth. He looks so weird. I hate his smile. It sends chills down my spine.
My notes say this could be just for us, but he says a line about like people are gonna be throwing fruit at us in the street when they hear about this, like this choice, me over Mike. And then I wrote in my notes, I'm throwing fruit right now, Ian.
I'm throwing fruit at you.
But they're making out. I can't remember why they take a break for a second. He's like gonna get water or something.
Champagne, I think, actually. Champagne celebrate.
Celebrate, yeah.
Gonna pop them bottles.
And when he leaves the room, Susan goes up to her message machine. And there's a message, so she plays it, and it's Mike. And he's like, "Hey, Susan. I'm not really good with words, but I just wanted to say that I want you to be happy."
Doesn't he say like you're the best thing that ever happened to me, or something yeah. very romantic?
Yeah. Oh, I wrote it down. Yeah, he said. he basically said. I just want you to know that you'll always be the best thing that has ever happened to me. And that essentially he wants her to be happy.
I'm going to cry.
And the message ends. And Ian kind of comes in near the end of the message. And he listens to it.
I'm tearing up. I don't know why I'm tearing up. I just like, why do I love Mike and Susan?
Get ready for those tears to pour, because Susan does not notice Ian standing behind her. And she... just replays the message. Ian leaves the room.
He goes and packs his bag, and thank fucking God.
She's like, what are you doing? And he's been like, you've been listening to that voicemail for an hour and a half on repeat. I'm going back to England.
He's pretty calm about it though too, because yeah. He's just like, you are trying to honor a promise you made me, and you've never gotten over him, and you deserve to be happy. And he pieces the fuck out, and I am so happy I'm walking on air, because this motherfucker is gone.
I'm happy for both of them. Ultimately, it's going to be better for both of them.
Yes, he needs someone who isn't hung up on their soulmate. Sorry about it.
In this scene, Susan and Ian say their goodbyes, and I assume we won't see Ian again? Unless we see him, like, play game.
Maybe they do, like, a Riley from Buffy thing and bring him back in, like, 3 seasons and he has, like, a wife or something now.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for Buffy, I guess? I don't know. And we get a tiny, tiny scene of Lynette asking McCluskey to come back. And McCluskey's going to get more money because she has to tighten her belt a bit. But it's a sweet little reconciliation between Lynette and McCluskey. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And then we still, we continue with Lynette by going to her house. And Tom is up and moving about. He is still pretty stiff. And you can tell he is still in pain. But the stuff Kayla said to him has him pretty spooked. So he wants to get back to work. And he wants to fire Rick.
Yeah. And Lynette obviously defends him a lot, you know, and I think that just kind of confirms Tom's suspicions. I don't know if I would immediately, like, because I do think that what she says is valid, that his menu has brought in more customers, mm-hmm. XYZ, XYZ, but it's the way, it's the tone in which she defends him that makes it seem a mm-hmm. little loaded, and I think Tom picks up on that.
Yeah.
And I'm sad for Tom. Can't believe he got me back.
I am too. We then go to Ida and Susan.
Oh, God.
The mail guy mixed up their mail again. And this is a perfect opportunity to actually give the exposition that Mike is actually gone.
Mike fucking bolted middle of the night.
Middle of the night. According to Carlos, something really bad happened and he needed to dip out.
That's crazy. Is he just leaving Carlos with a mortgage? Like, what's going on?
Carlos, I paid for this house in cash. Here's the deed. I just crossed off my name and put yours on it.
What if, like, he still owns it and Carlos still pays rent? So he's just, like, a landlord from, like, afar, wherever he is. I got so sad. Because then we go into the end of the episode. We don't even get to know where Mike is, what's going on. Because Mary Alice says gossip. She's just kind of talking about gossip again. We're bookending it. We see the staff, as I said, knows about Rick's flirting. We see that Edie overhears some ladies running, saying it's obvious Carlos is still in love with Gabby. That makes her sad. We see a little moment where a kid comes up and asks McCluskey if she kept her husband in a freezer, and she scares him, and it's fun. I don't remember what Mariana says. I didn't write it down. I will not lie. But that is the end of the episode. We don't know what the fuck happened to Mike. Where the hell's he? Where's Mike?
Can I give a slight spoiler?
I guess,
about where Mike might be?
Oh, okay. Is this your prediction corner?
No, I this is an actual spoiler. I accidentally did read the bio for next episode, and I think it's very funny, and I just want to mention it.
Okay.
Susan gets lost in the woods looking for Mike.
Is that what it says for the next
episode? It says Susan gets lost in the woods while looking for Mike.
What if she just goes to any woods? She doesn't That's even what know I'm, he's I'm like,
is she
there.
Just like, she's like, I'm just assuming she's in the middle of nowhere. And she's like, Mike!
What's the closest woods? I'll start there. And then just starts going through any forest she can, yeah.
Yeah.
No confirmation he's actually there, just going through the forest. Sounds very Susan to me. And you know what else sounds very Susan to me? Question mark? I don't know. We've been Wisteria Gaze. That's our podcast. And if you would like to connect with us, find us, talk with us, send us little messages on social media, you can on Instagram at WisteriaGaze_ or Twitter at WisteriaGaze. And you can find a lot of info and deets and links on our website, WisteriaGaze.com.
And on that website, you can also find pages or links to our merch page, our Discord, and our Patreon.
Whoa.
Our Patreon is great. It helps support us. It helps support the show. And you get a couple cool perks with it. For the low, low price of $2 a month or more, you can get access to show notes, ad-free episodes, movie watches. We're going to be doing another one very soon.
Yeah.
And episode shout-outs. So we're going to take the next minute to shout out our patrons. So thank you to Amanda,
Annie,
Aubrey,
Kaylin,
Cheryl,
Drusilla LaFay,
Elise,
Aaron,
Helena,
Jade,
Kim,
Liv,
Lydia,
Nadia,
Sarah Schroeder,
Sarah Swihart,
new patron, Susan.
We have a Susan in our midst. Oh my gosh. Welcome, Susan.
I'll say it with less disdain next time.
You sound like the Hoobs or something. What's going on? Oh, and Tom. I realize it's my turn. Tom, I love you, Tom.
Victoria.
And Vincent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for being our patron.
For being a patron. You know what else makes my heart sing? Reviews.
Oh, reviews. I love reviews. You love reviews. We love reviews. We love reviews. At the end of every episode, we like to ask a question to help get those review juices flowing. The reason we do this is because if you leave us a review, helps people find us and the show so we can have more friends to hang out with. I think the question this week should be,
what piece of mail gets accidentally sent to Ida that's actually yours?
What gets sent? What of yours?
I ordered the new model of strap. That's 12. It's the new model. It's upgraded. It's the highest we've ever had. And I was gonna buy it actually as a gift for Ida. And it accidentally got sent to her, and then it ruined the surprise of my gift. I mean, she still got to have it, but I was gonna wrap it, you know, I was gonna make it look nice. I figured I should upgrade, right? Because she was 8. Was she 8?
Or was that the reason? Yeah.
Was it 8? Somebody had 8. Somebody might have had 10, but now Ida has 12 strap. So that was what actually got sent to Ida from me.
I think what gets sent to Ida, actually, it's kind of embarrassing. I bought my new partner on the lane a gift, and I accidentally sent – I had her address saved as the default address, and I sent it to her, and there was, like, a note and everything, and she knew it wasn't for her because the note didn't say her name. And
who's your new partner on the lane? You didn't tell me you were seeing somebody
new.
It's
a little too early. I don't know. Maybe next season we can talk about it, but –
you keep it on the DL?
Yeah, just for now, just for now.
Oh, my God.
Just until they're comfortable.
Well, you've got to let me know.
Of course I can let you know.
Okay. Offline, let me know who you're dating, please.
Can I pitch something?
Please.
What if we could have, like, user-submitted questions? Like, if they send it to our, like, email or something?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I don't know. If you send us an email, what's our email? WisteriaGazePodcast@gmail.com. And if you have any question pitches and or just, like, want to answer questions or have
send letters.
Questions.
I don't give
send
a shit.
Send us a letter.
You know, we
draw
can play voicemails,
picture.
Too. If y'all send us, like, a voicemail, an audio clip of just responding to the show, we could play them, too. I don't care.
Yeah. If you want us to read anything on the air, let us know. If you say, hey, this really can't get out there, let us know.
Yeah, our email is open. We also have a contact form on our website, so you can we're around. Let
talk
us know.
To us. It's the law. Other than that, you can find me, Ned, on social media at Ned Jorts or Horse Games Live at twitch.com or twitch.tv/horsegameslive.
Hell yeah. I'm private on Insta, but I am public on Twitter. If you want to follow me, I'm Mackenzie Wilkes.
Everyone else out there, stay juicy.
Stay juicy. Yo.